And I want everybody to turn to Colossians 1. We've been in this book for the last few Sunday mornings studying the Bible together, as we do every Sunday here at Crossroads. We study and learn the Bible so that we can go out and live the Bible. And it can change our life, you know, change our attitude, change our outlook, change our priorities, change our relationships. The Bible is life-changing, and that's what it's meant to be, and it is when you believe it. And in Colossians 1, it's a great text about Jesus Christ, and so that's why I want to go there this morning. You know, we've gathered here basically to do two wonderful things, and that is, number one, to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and number two, to worship Him and to give Him glory and to give Him thanks. I know that the world has done a lot to corrupt and obscure the true meaning of Christmas. I know in our society and in our culture today, it's gotten worse and worse. I know that you know, it's become about material possessions and all the other things. But I do want to say this, that I don't think it's good to become a Scrooge either, amen? You know, you look at what the world's done with Christmas, and sometimes people can get to be Scrooges, and I don't think that's good either, because I believe that the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I believe that birth is an event that's worth celebrating. There's not a lot of things that you see heaven celebrating in the Bible. For example, we know that heaven celebrates when a lost sinner comes to God. When somebody will humble themselves before the Lord and will seek God. We know that the Bible says that heaven celebrates when a lost sinner will turn to God in repentance. We know that. But heaven also celebrated the day that Jesus Christ was born into this world. If you've ever been to Walk Through Bethlehem, our Christmas drama out here that we do outside, and it's the city's still there. It'll be coming down in the next few weeks. But we had over 8,500 people come through this year. And towards the end of their tour, after they've gone through the whole city of Bethlehem, when they get to the end of the tour, there's this field that we bring them out to, and there's a shepherd camp, and there's tents, and there's sheep, and there's all these shepherds that invite them to come in, and there's a fire there, and they gather around the fire. And unless they've been before, they're kind of caught off guard, because as they're gathered around the fire, all of a sudden, this is what they see. Let's go ahead and play it real quick. This is what they see.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men.
And man, people are shocked. I mean, we had groups that actually just broke out in applause after that. They were so excited. You know, this angel appears. That's exactly what happened. Look in your handout at the very top of your handout. And it says, the angel appears to these shepherds and says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. It's exactly what he just said. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And, you know, I mean, when Jesus Christ was born, we see heaven celebrating. And I feel like that if something is important enough that heaven celebrates and angels are all worked up over it, then I think we as believers ought to rejoice in it too. Amen, church? I think we ought to get excited about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why was it such a wonderful day when Christ was born? And here's why, and this is what I want to get across. The reason why it was such a wonderful day is because that day in Bethlehem, when Christ was finally born, God set into motion something very, very special. God set into motion salvation's plan for you and me. Because Jesus Christ was born on this earth and would ultimately die on the cross and rise from the dead, some incredible, enormous, wonderful blessings have been provided for you and me. Because Christ was born, this text, verses 13 and 14, are going to explain to us the blessings that have come because God was made manifest, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Number one is this in your handout. It says that, number one, we now can be delivered from Satan's kingdom. From Satan's kingdom. I want you to look at verse number 13. Look what the Bible says. It says that Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. God made a way of deliverance. But what has He exactly delivered us from? You know, if I delivered you from, if you couldn't swim and you fell in one of our lakes out here in the front of the church, and I dove in and I rescued you, you would say, Pastor Dan, you saved me from drowning. If I ran into your house and it was on fire and I pulled you out, you'd say, you saved me from burning to death. If I could somehow magically seal your mouth for the next day or two, you would say, Pastor Dan, you saved me from gaining 5 pounds. Amen? Isn't that what we all plan to do, right, next few days? And so what are we delivered from? The Bible says that Christ has delivered us. What's He delivered us from? Look at verse 13. It says He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, what's that? That is speaking of Satan's kingdom and authority on earth. You may not realize it this morning, but Satan right now has set up a kingdom on this earth. And it's one of sin, it's one of darkness, and it leads people into bondage and into misery. And listen, ultimately, do you know where Satan's kingdom leads people if people don't get out of his kingdom? If you stay in his kingdom, and if you don't get out of his kingdom, then eventually his kingdom leads people to eternal separation from God. Can you imagine being eternally separated from God Almighty? And then, of course, the Bible teaches that his kingdom leads people, unless you get out of it, it leads you into eternal darkness. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ came, and when he was born in Bethlehem, light penetrated the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Look at John 1 in your handout. It's right there in your handout. It says, in him, in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. And then it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him, through Jesus, might believe. That, talking about Jesus, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, at Walk Through Bethlehem, there's a candle shop. And when the tour guide brings the group over to the candle shop, he stops there, and the candle maker says to the group, says, hey, I've got a motto. And my motto is, why walk in darkness when you can walk in light? And then the tour guide says, we were just talking to the potter about that. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to give us all the light we need. That is not just a line in Walk Through Bethlehem. I want you to know that is the truth of God. When Jesus Christ came, he was the true light. He penetrated the kingdom of darkness of Satan, and he was the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. Praise God for the day that Jesus Christ came and was born in Bethlehem, because when we believe on Jesus, we are delivered from Satan's kingdom of darkness. But guess what? It gets better. It gets gooder and gooder. Y'all ready? All right, let me show you. It gets gooder and gooder. All right, number two is this. I want to give you the second blessing because Christ was born. Number two is that now we can be translated into Christ's kingdom. So I'm delivered out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and the Bible says I'm translated into his kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Look at verse 13. It says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and, oh, I like that, and, it did, see, I told you, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God does not deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and leave us to wander around spiritually homeless. He doesn't take us out of one kingdom and then just kind of leave us to wander around aimlessly. He immediately changed our citizenship into another kingdom. He said, I changed your citizenship. He's writing to Christians here. And he said, God has changed your citizenship from the kingdom of darkness, and now you're a citizen of the kingdom of his dear son. And that word translated isn't a word that we probably use a lot today, but it's a good word. If you look it up, the word translated, it means to carry away, to transfer. So if I'm translated, it means I've been carried away into something else. It means I have been transferred into something else. So what the Bible is saying here is that the moment, it's not something God's going to do. According to that verse, for Christians, he's already done this. See, if you're saved and you know Christ, God's already done it for you. He's already taken your citizenship out of the kingdom of darkness, and he's changed your citizenship into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, if you don't know Christ yet, and I've been there, all right, I there was a time in my life when I did not know the Lord. I was running, you know, and I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when you don't know Christ, here's the thing. The moment that you trust Christ, and I remember the day when I made a decision that I was going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ and you believe on him, you trust him, at that moment, you are made part of Christ's kingdom of light. It's not something he's going to do. It's something he does immediately when you get saved. Look at the verse up here, and I'll show you. He's writing to Christians, and look what he said in Ephesians 5:8. It's a great verse. It says, for you, talking to people just like us, he says, for you were sometimes what, church? Darkness. In other words, that was your identity. You were a citizen of Satan's kingdom of darkness. You, as Jesus said, you're of your father, right? The devil. So that was where my identity, that's where my citizenship was. I was darkness. He says, but now, ooh, I like that, but now. Everybody say that, but now. Woo-hoo. Aren't you glad for the but now? Amen. But now are you light in the Lord. He said, I changed your identity. You got a new citizenship now. You got a new identity. Now you're light in the Lord. And then he says, now I want you to go out and I want you to live according to your new identity. He said, I'm going to change your life. Walk as children of light. You're not going to walk like you're a member of the darkness anymore. You're going to walk like a child of light. You're going to have purpose and meaning to your life. And you're going to walk as a child of light. It's like this. Caleb, come here for a minute. Caleb is out here, right? And he's in the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible says the moment that you bow your head and you pray and you trust Christ as your Savior, at that very moment when he trusts the Lord, the Bible says, now not physically, but spiritually, God takes Caleb Proctor and he translates. He carries him away. He transfers him up here out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And it's all because our Savior, Jesus Christ, was born. Amen, church? Amen. Thanks, Caleb. You can go back to darkness now. All right, go back over there. No, I'm just kidding. Right? So am I waiting to get into Christ's kingdom? Or if I'm saved, am I already a part of it? Already, right. The Bible says we are now a member of Christ's kingdom. We are now the sons and daughters of God. We are now the possessors of eternal life. We are now the citizens of heaven. You say, well, Pastor Dan, then why am I going through all the junk I'm going through? Why is my life a mess? And why do I have this pain? And why do I have this heartache? And why do I have all these problems? And why did I lose my job? And why, if I'm a citizen of heaven, then why am I going through all this hurt and all this pain and all this stuff? Let me remind you that you can be a citizen of one kingdom, but be temporarily somewhere else. For example, our dedicated military, who we thank God for, right? Many of our military right now, they are away from their families. Scotty, good to see you, buddy. But they are away from their families. They are on foreign soil in another country right now, whether it's Afghanistan, you know, Iran, wherever. But they're on foreign soil somewhere. They're a citizen of the United States of America. But they're on foreign soil temporarily. If you're saved today, you are a citizen of Christ's kingdom in heaven, but you're temporarily still living in Satan's kingdom of darkness. But I got good news for you. You may be temporarily in Satan's kingdom of darkness, but if you know the Lord, you're a member of a heavenly kingdom. And it's all because Jesus was born. Do you see why the angels got so worked up that day? You see why they were all keyed up? It's because Christ was born. It meant something. It meant that we as people now could now be delivered out of that kingdom of darkness. The light came, and he lights every man that comes into the world. And now it means that I can be translated. I can be transferred. I can be carried away into his glorious kingdom. But there's a third blessing. Let me give you the third one, church. Number three, if you're taking notes, because Christ was born, we can be set free from bondage. Wow. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, next verse. It says, in whom, the whom is Christ, in Christ we have redemption through his blood. You know, when you talk about redemption, you guys know what that means, right? You get a, say you go out to the mall and they give you a receipt and they say, now you can pick this up in 3 days back here at this certain place. So then you go and you got your receipt and you go and you redeem what you bought. You say, okay, I bought it. Here's the proof. I came to redeem it. And the word redeem, it means, it carries the idea of paying something to release a prisoner in the Bible. You pay a ransom to release a prisoner who's in bondage. Now, the idea of Scripture is that we were prisoners to sin. In other words, we were behind bars, so to speak. We're behind bars. Sin is what created the bars that enslave us. The payment that we owed was death. There's no bail money. There's no bail money. There's no amount of deeds that you can do to be released. It's not like, okay, I did this and did this. I paid my bail. No, there's no bail. But Jesus Christ came, was born in Bethlehem, and 33 years later, he paid the price on the cross to deliver us from that slavery, to set us free. The ransom was paid in full by Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says that Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. But I want to remind you, he could not have died in our place had he not first been born. He had to take on our humanity because last week we said he had to become a partaker of our flesh and blood, right? Because only human beings can die. So you realize what a miracle that was that day? Is that God wrapped himself in human flesh. God was made manifest and he dwelt among us. God, that's why his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God had to take on our humanity because only God can pay the price for our sin for us and pay that ransom to deliver us from our sin, set us free from bondage. Only God can do that. So Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of miracles. I mean, it's incredible. Well, I mean, what a God that could think of something like that. That God himself would come and take on flesh and blood like us. Why? So that he could die. So that he could give his life on the cross to die for me and for you. And for all the sins and the wrongdoings that we've ever done. Had he not done that, we'd have been stuck behind the bars of sin. We'd have been in bondage with no way out, no escape. But he came, he was born, and took on our flesh and blood so he could take that flesh and blood, that body that was prepared for him, take that to the cross and make a payment of death that you and I owed for our sin. You may feel like you're in bondage today, feel like you're behind bars. Not at the county jail. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You're not behind bars at the county jail, but you know what? You feel like you're behind bars. You feel like you're in bondage, maybe to some habit. You can't kick it. You feel like you're in bondage to an addiction. Nobody knows about it but you. You feel like you're in bondage to depression. Or maybe you feel like you're in bondage to circumstances that are kind of out of your control. You feel like a prisoner to those circumstances. Some people feel like they're in bondage to just terrible feelings of inferiority because of abuse in their life. They've been through abuse. wasn't their fault. They were abused by someone else. But yet it's created bars around you to enslave you and to bring feelings in your life of bondage. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the great deliverer. And I want you to know He wants you and He will redeem you. God can redeem your life. You do not have to think that your life is wasted. You do not have to think that I am so ruined, I am so scarred, I've done so much that my life is wasted. No, I want you to know that Jesus Christ specializes in lost causes. And to Him, there are no lost causes. There is never a point you cross where your life can't be redeemed. Your life, listen to me, it can be redeemed, and God can redeem your life, and God can bring meaning and purpose, and you can have such an incredible positive impact on other people in your life as you share with them how God has redeemed your life. And he has done an incredible work in you. God wants to set you free. Do you know what Jesus Christ said when He walked the earth? This is out of the lips of Jesus Himself. Jesus said, "I came to set the captives free." Jesus Christ, because He was born, we can be set free from bondage. There is hope. The fourth and last thing is this. Because Christ was born, we can be totally forgiven by God. I want you to look at verse number 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I love that word, forgiven. Isn't that a great word? That's a sweet word, forgiven. You know? Isn't that great? Guys, you ever make your wife mad and then finally she says, "I forgive you." And you're like, "Phew, good. I'm okay for today." Amen. I'm all right for today. I'm forgiven. Isn't that a great word? Forgiven. Everybody say that word, forgiven. Isn't that a great word? It's a sweet word. And you know, I really believe that a lot of people never come to God because they don't think God will forgive them. They do not. I mean, Satan, he is such a king of darkness. He wants to keep you in the dark, man. He wants to keep you so in the dark. He wants to keep you hopeless. He wants to beat you down. He wants to remind you of every bad thing you ever did in your life. He wants to make you feel like you're low life, like you are nothing. But here's the reality, though. That Satan just lies. Here's the reality. The reality is this. The moment that anyone believes that what Christ did on the cross for them was enough, the moment that you trust Jesus Christ to save you, immediately every sin is completely and totally forgiven. We receive a full pardon. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor Dan, you don't know everything I've done." Aren't you glad? Come on, aren't you glad? I mean, honestly, how many of you in here have done things in your life that you really wouldn't want repeated in front of the whole church? Raise your hand. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right. We've all done things we wouldn't want repeated in front of the whole church. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. But when you come to Jesus, you receive a full pardon. The word forgiven means to send away, to cancel a debt. Christ not only redeemed us, this is so good. Christ not only redeemed, that was our previous point, right? How He redeems you. He doesn't just redeem you out of the slave market of sin. You know what He does once He redeems you? He cancels every debt so that you can never be enslaved again. Forgiveness is an act of God's grace that is legally just, it's legally righteous because it's based on Christ's work for sinners. In your handout is a statement. I want you to get this, and I'm almost done. Look in your handout. It says in your handout, we don't deserve forgiveness and we can't earn it. We can't earn forgiveness. Forgiveness is based on the merits of Christ alone. You see, it isn't the idea that God arbitrarily or sentimentally forgives sins. God's not up in heaven saying, "Well, I feel sorry for them and all they've been through, so I think I'll forgive them." Or God says, "You know, they sure have been trying hard to change, so I guess I'll forgive them." That's not the way it works. That would be very wishy-washy. That would not be a just and a legal way to forgive. God does it this way. Forgiveness is rooted in and it's based on the complete work of redemption that Christ accomplished on the cross. It's the only way that God can legally and morally forgive sins. It's all based on Christ. Listen, Christ paying that ransom for you on the cross. Now, because he's paid the ransom, he offers to you a free pardon. And now do you see why the angels got so excited that day? Do you see why the heavenly hosts rejoiced the way they did when Christ was born? We've seen all that it means to us. It means I can be delivered out of Satan's kingdom of darkness. It means I can be translated. I can be carried and transferred into Christ's kingdom. It means I can be set free from bondage. It means that I don't have to be enslaved anymore. It means that now my life can have meaning and purpose because God forgives every sin. He cancels every debt. He actually gives me a full pardon for my sins that I've committed against him. And it's all based on the free gift of God, his very Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot purchase any of these wonderful blessings that we've talked about. You cannot buy your way out of Satan's kingdom of darkness. I don't care how much money you got. Doesn't matter. You cannot buy your way out of Satan's kingdom of darkness. You can't buy your way into Christ's kingdom of light. You cannot buy freedom from the bondage. You cannot buy forgiveness of your sins. They aren't for sale. They only come to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. They only come to those who receive these gifts. You can reject these wonderful gifts. You can reject them. God opens up his hand. God says, I want to give you the gift of forgiveness. I want to give you the gift of my son's kingdom. I want to give you the gift of freedom. I want to give you the gift of a total pardon of your sin. And God opens his hands and says, now, I've already purchased the gift. Christ purchased it on the cross. And here it is. It's already been done. It's already been paid for. And he offers, but he will not force the gifts on you. If you got to force a gift on somebody, it's not a gift. If you got to earn it, it's not a gift. For a gift to be a gift, it has to be offered, and then it has to be what? It's got to be received. There was a man by the name of George Wilson, and George Wilson was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail in Pennsylvania. He was in the 1800s, and he was sentenced to death. Due to his friend's influence, George Wilson received a pardon, a full pardon, by the president, Andrew Jackson. Wilson, however, refused the pardon. People were scratching their heads. They were wondering, well, what do we do now? How do we handle this? A pardon has been issued, but he's rejecting it. Do we set him free? What happens here? The Supreme Court was asked to rule on the case, and the decision was that if the prisoner does not accept the pardon, then it's not in effect. And the Supreme Court said, and I quote, "A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery of the pardon is essential. And delivery is not complete without acceptance. It may then be rejected by the person to whom it's tendered. And if it is rejected, we have discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. Therefore, Wilson was put to death." You see, a pardon has to be offered, but then it has to be received. And today, God offers you a full pardon for your sin. He offers you eternal life with his Son and his kingdom. It's got to be received. You can make a choice to reject it. But delivery of that pardon isn't complete until you've received it. I think Romans 6:23 at the bottom of your handout sums it up beautifully. Look at what the Bible says. Everybody look at your handout. Say it with me. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, But the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.